Part A.
There's a sign-up sheet back there for the marriage conference. November, the date is there. We have 20 rooms reserved at Wingate. Because of marvelous grace of people to make this marriage conference available, it's a $400 weekend for $100. That's about as good as it gets, people. That's two nights, four meals, a Bobby Joyner concert, and four sessions. And that's plenty of grace. We have availabilities with other hotels nearby. First 20 sign up, get Wingate, and then others will be on their own in the other places. But if you want a great weekend, let me encourage you to sign up now and make plans. So if you'd like to attend, sign that so that we know how to prepare for the number of people. Bobby Joyner will be there on a Friday night concert. It'll be another fun-filled weekend for those who are married. So let me encourage you to do that. We need to know now who are interested in going, so just sign now to show us your interest. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to the Colossians. We were there last week, and I was unable to get through it. So we're in our third session on transformation. We're talking about the mechanics of it. We're in the 11th of 12 church age doctrines that I personally believe were essential doctrines to my spiritual growth, maturity, and my stabilization in the Christian life. When I got these 12 doctrines under my belt, so to speak, I had a very good view of what the plan of God had in store for me as a believer in the church age. So I'm sharing those with you over the course of this time. And we're in the 11th of 12 studies on transformation. Al pretty much summarized my feelings about it. I was an accelerated growth pattern of putting on, and then I hit a wall. And I couldn't figure out why I hit a wall. And it became apparent to me as I began studying the Word of God that I had to stop and start taking some things off that were in conflict with the Word of God. Attitudes, way I felt about life, people, things, my attitude towards God in conflict. And I just seemed to be at fussing all the time with somebody and something. And I had all this Bible doctrine. And I began to read Paul, and I discovered that Paul had the same problem. You can read about it in great details in Philippians 3. It's in every one of his books. He talks about the things that once were gained to him have now become loss. And he had to come to a place in his life where that was acceptable. And he really struggled with that, I'm telling you. The things that he took off, he lists having taken them off. He listed them. And they were not easy. He'll tell you if you read Philippians 3. He'll tell you it was not an easy process, but it was a necessary process for him to get on in the plan of God and complete the mission that God has set before him, to be an apostle to the Gentiles. So, and where was that? He was an apostle to the Gentiles. He wasn't having Gentile problems. He was having Jewish problems. He was having cultural problems. And so he had to learn to take it off, and he tells you the struggle he had, and he tells you what how he did it. And every book is, there's something in there in every book about this process. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Romans, you name it. So, last time I said that I felt that Paul introduced the concept of it in the book of Romans. The book of Romans is a phenomenal book when you break it down into segments of thought. You got chapters 1 through 5, you got chapters 6 through 8, you got chapters 9 through 11. They're all segments of ideas, and then he comes to chapter 12 and closes out his book. And it is in this chapter 12 that he introduces this idea, off from the idea of chapter 6, 7, and 8. And people get confused with chapter 6 when he introduces the concept of old man, and then he comes back in chapter 12, doesn't mention, but talks about transformation of it. So it's kind of an interesting process that you have. So I talked about Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1-2, and I told you that Paul saw two very clear parts of transformation in his life as far as doctrine. He saw that there was a body part of it and there was a mind part of it. There's a body part and a mind part. That's kind of interesting because he didn't say a body part and a soul part. He didn't say a body part and a spirit part. And he knows that because he wrote about it in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. But he said there's a body part and there's a mind part. And he said in the body part, you've got to bring your body to a place that you understand that it's a mobile temple. It houses the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of God. And what you have to do is you have to bring your body in that mobile temple. You have to bring that body to a place where it is in spiritual service of worship. And that's what we call walking in the Spirit and that consistency there. And he says the other part of transformation is the mind. The transformation by the renewing of your mind to the will of God. In verse 2 of chapter 12. And so he gives you an introduction. He doesn't tell you exactly how it works. But he spent chapters 6, 7, and 8 to talk about the body part. And then he introduces the concept over here. And then he goes back into great discussion on it in the books of Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. Does great. He goes into great lengths on it. I mean, he shows you in Philippians the struggle, and in Ephesians and Colossians, he shows you the mechanics. So, it's a phenomenal book. Al was right about Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1. I mean, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1, when you read that verse and you lay it out hermeneutically, you go like, whoa, there's three parts to this. There's three stages to this. If I'm going to run the race and finish the course, there are some stages, there's some processing in my life that has to go on. So this is very important in my mind, my opinion, because we believe so much in the Word of God. The Word of God is for the mind. It's not for the body, it's for the mind. The Word of God is for the mind. So by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your mind is the Word of God. It's what we call cycling the Word of God by faith. And there's a process and a mechanics to it. But for Paul, he's saying when there is conflict in your mind, when there is conflict over the revealed will of God in your life, and there is conflict about it. And listen, it isn't always with the Word. It isn't always in yourself. Sometimes that conflict is outside of you that causes you to think a certain way or to feel a certain way about what's happening to you. I mean, you might be a husband who feels your wife is not fulfilling her responsibility to you, and all of a sudden, the way you are thinking, the way you are feeling, and now the way you're behaving is not the way the Bible tells you to do it as a husband. And all of a sudden, you're mistreating her, and you're trying to justify it because she's not behaving the way the Bible should do it. Yet what you should be doing is you should be paying attention to what the Bible tells you how to behave in it, because you can't control her. It's not your responsibility. You didn't die on the cross to make her a better person. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to make her a better person and will equip everything she needs to make her a better person. And what you want is a better person, but you're treating her in a way because you're not holding your responsibility. Your responsibility is not to be Jesus Christ in her life. Your responsibility is to be a soulmate. And so your responsibility, when your wife's misbehaving, your responsibility is to go to the Word of God. Your responsibility is to go to what God tells you to do, and you're to do what God tells you to do. And your job is to love her. Listen, God didn't put a big stick in your hand when he put a ring on your finger. Your wife is not your child. Your relationship will help. Now, where do you get that idea? You get it from the Bible. Where do you get this idea that I just... Where'd you get that idea that I'm the boss? Where'd you get that idea? You get it from the Bible. And yet that's in conflict in your relationship. That's old man. And it doesn't necessarily, and it's in conflict with the will of God. It's in conflict with the God, will of God in your life because it's all about her. If she'd change, I'd be better. If she'd do this, I'd feel better. If she'd do that, I'd be happy. If she'd do that, quit that foolishness. Quit that foolishness. Now, how are you going to quit it? You're not going to quit it unless you take it off and change it. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me and my relationship. I'm talking about me and what I had to get rid of in order to have a decent relationship with my wife. I'm talking about what I had to do. I'm talking about you. What I know about your life. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me the way Paul talked about him when he wrote Philippians 3. I'm talking about the things that I thought were necessary in order to make things work. But not according to the will of God, just according to some way I had conjured up some ideas. Some of the cultural. Some of it's hit and miss, and some of it's just hoping. And all the time, I had all this Word of God. I was building, 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 and I was in conflict, conflict, conflict. Not in every area, but some of the areas that were most valuable to me. And I realized, what is the problem here? I've got all this doctrine. I know better than that. I know better than behave this way. I know better than let my emotions get into me. I know better than do this. What is wrong with me? By the way, I still keep asking myself those questions in other areas of my life. What is the matter with you? Why can't you get a hold of this? What's going on? But now I'm able to process it better. I don't look outside myself and say, well, if the world would get better, I'd be happier. The world will be happier when I change. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How come I'm different every day? If He's the same, how come I'm different if I'm connected with Him? I'm looking for that steady. I'm looking for steady. And so, we're in Colossians, the third chapter. We're talking about mechanics now. And last week we got started into mechanics and getting it through with it. So we're starting with verse 8. And now you also... Well, we started with verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, greed, with mouths of idolatry. Those were Gentile sins. They were the cultural things. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also walked once. You also once walked when you were living in them. Who's he talking to? He's talking to a bunch of converted Gentiles. But now you also put them aside, and now he talks about typical sin nature type of things that occur everywhere in the world. Well, these other, listen, What was in verse 5, you're not going to find in Jerusalem. You're going to find it in the Greek world. These are sins of the Greek world. You're going to find them in Romans. You're going to find them in Colossians. You're going to find it outside, not in Jerusalem. There's not the sins you're going to find in Jerusalem. You want to know what they are? Read Philippians, the 3rd chapter. He'll tell you what they are. He had to take them off. These are cultural, and he's going to tell you in verse 11 they're cultural, because he's going to come back. In verse 11, he's going to say, a renewal in which there is no distinction between the Greek and the Jew, the circumcised and the uncircumcised, the barbarian, the Scythian, the slave and the free man. He's going to give you the key. Christ is all in all. I mean, that's the goal of transformation. Listen, there's two primary goals of transformation. And if you get nothing else today, get this. There are two points. One, to transform you into the image of Christ so that the visible image of Christ becomes the invisible image of God in you. The goal is to transform the image, not yours, but His. To change your image into His image. That's first goal. That's primary goal. I'll show it to you. I'm just telling you. I'll show it to you. You're going to have to show me. Well, I'll just show you. Just give me a minute. That's first. The secondary goal of transformation is to get steady with the directive will of God in your life, where you stop fussing with it and fighting with it. That's what he says in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2. That I might prove that the will of God, that's the directive will of God, that the directive will of God, what is the directive will of God? That is the will of God that comes down and tells you exactly when, where, why, what He wants you to do. It's directions. Directions on the will of God. We call it the directive will of God. It is directions. Where does He want it? This is, He sent in Jonah to Nineveh. See, the directive will of God. I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to do that. I want you to do that. That's the directive will of God. It's not general. It's specific. That's the directive will of God. That's it. I mean, He speaks to a wife. This is how I want you to be. He speaks to the husband. This is the way I want you to be. He speaks to parents. This is the way I want you to be. He speaks to children. This is the way. That's the directive will of God. This is how I want you to think. This is where I want you. This is what I want from you. You understand? Have I had prayer yet? Wow. Whew. My engine got fired up. Well, let me have a word of prayer while my engine is still running. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll get right back here. Give you a moment of silence as a believer priest. Indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Make confession of sin if necessary. According to 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, mental attitude sins, sins in the tongue, and overt sins, He is faithful and just, an absolute promise from the character of God. He is faithful to forgive and cleanse. And that cleansing allows the Holy Spirit to be the Spirit of truth in your life and to bring Bible doctrine out into the truth of your life. Because when you accept truth, take off the old man and put on the new man, that will set you free. And Father, we're looking to be set free from the things that hold us in bondage, to find peace and happiness and fulfillment in my life, in each of our lives. We pray now, Father, the Holy Spirit would teach us the truth about transformation in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the last time we looked at the general idea in Romans 12, and then we went into Colossians, the 3rd chapter. You can read about it also in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. In fact, the key passages on transformation is Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, 5 through 11, or 5 through 14. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, you're going to reach up there, higher up there in about 14 or so, and run through the end of the chapter. So you want Romans 12, you want Colossians 3, you want Ephesians 4. You want Philippians 3 to see the processing of putting off things that are all often cultural or bred in or taught into you that hinder the plan of God, that hinder the directive will of God in your life. These are things that these are key passages. You know, people like, look, you get them to study them. It's kind of like when we talk about spiritual gifts. We say, look, spiritual gifts, they're in Romans 12, the 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, and Ephesians 4. So here it is on transformation. There's no doubt about the concept, in my opinion. There is no doubt about it. The putting off is what is in conflict with the revealed will of God. What has been directed, the directive will of God. That which has been revealed is the directive will of God. Here's a husband, is told exactly what God expects from him. Here's a wife, God tells him exactly what he expects from him. Look, you can go to Ephesians. You can go to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. You can go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. You can go to 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. These are key passages that tell you, that reveal to you the direction God wants, the will of God in marriage and parenting. He does the same thing for people who are employed. If you're in management, he tells you, I want you to behave this way. If you're a laborer, he tells you this way. I mean, God tells you everything in detail about your life, what he's expecting of you. He doesn't just let you run wild and then jerk you around and jack you up and whack you and then say, well, you should have known better. He tells you ahead of time. That's called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, right? The book, that's the book for me. Come on. We know that. So, this is very important. So, when he uses the word transformation, notice on your paper, it's made up of two words, meta and morpho-o. Meta, morpho-o. Of course, morpho-o is obvious. It's a physical form or something to deal with a physical life. And meta means change. Therefore, this word literally means to change one's form or function. That's what it means. It means to change one's form or function on the basis of what he tells you in Romans 12, 2, by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. You are to change your form or function in life based on the will of God, Romans 12, 2. Now, when you're not in conflict with the will of God, when you don't have another belief that's in conflict with it, this is not a problem. This is a very smooth transition. This thing really works smooth. For example, I doubt if many of you have a problem with the second coming of Christ. You just... But in issues that we have to daily grind in and grind out, we have some issues with it because we've got some other ideas about how this is supposed to work. And that's when they get in conflict. That's the reason I mentioned marriage and work, because this is the ones I hear the most on. Most counseling comes through marriages, family, employment, and church activities. Well, I don't like. I've got my seat, and somebody took my seat, and I told them, I've been here longer than anybody. I've been here as long as dirt. I remember when they put the cornerstone in and all that. And so you have those kind of things, and all that stuff is old man. There's nothing more to it. There's conflict in marriage with people who know the Word of God. What is the conflict? It's old man, old man. It's what it is. You say to him, well, do you know what the Bible says? And they go, yes, I know what it says, but... That but is old man. That's what that is. That's conflict. And so what you have to do is you have to go in there and you have to have them tweak that idea. They've got to come to some conclusions about what they're believing right now. And that was true for Paul. It's true for me. It'd be true for you if you got honest.
This concludes part A. Please select part B to continue.